Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Business Radio X studio in Wilmington, North Carolina, and to the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Voice of Business show. I'm Connie Majorette, President and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber. The focus of our show today is something that's awfully important to our local economy, to our citizens. We're going to talk about the film industry and film incentives. That topic has been given a lot of attention lately because of the General Assembly's actions in Raleigh. We're going to learn more about that. For you to know, there's about 1,700 people employed in the film industry here, and $500 million has been spent on production in the last 3 years. So we've got some great, wonderful, knowledgeable people here about the film industry. Pleased to have Bill Vassar, who is the EVP of EUE Screen Gem Studios.
Hi, Connie.
Thank you for joining us, Bill. And the man on the street every day, Johnny Griffin, who's director of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission.
Great. Thanks, Connie. Appreciate it.
Glad you're here. And always, Ann.
Ravel Pescher.
I always try to mix those up.
I know. And it doesn't flow as nice as Majorette, right?
Right. Well, anyway. But she is the chief of Business Radio X. So let's get started. People that might not know how big the industry is here, how long we've had it. So would you guys talk about the history of film here and how it grew and what happened?
I guess it was about 1984. Dino De Laurentiis had made a commitment to produce a film from Stephen King's novel Firestarter. There was a commitment made for the lead actress,
Drew Barrymore.
It was her second film after E.T. And Frank Capra Jr. was producing the film for Dino, and he was traveling the country looking for a plantation house that they could shoot it at, and a plantation house that would have the room to put a facade of that next to it and burn it down. And once Frank saw Orton Plantation, he knew he had found the place. So Dino came here with his company to produce that film, and he fell in love with Wilmington. He had put a company together, DEG Productions, to produce films, and he decided to build that operation to produce those films here in Wilmington. That's how it all got started.
And boy, have things changed since then. But you know, the interesting thing, I think I remember when Dino started this, he had a lot of help from our governor at the time, Governor Hunt.
They became
great friends and great supporter of the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny, talk about the impact that film has in Wilmington.
You know, film in this community is one of our leading industries here. A lot of people don't realize sometimes because since everybody works freelance, they all work on individual projects and as individual contractors, more or less. They're not all under one roof, but if you actually put them all under one roof to work for the day, they would be in you know, like the top five employers in the community. Mm-hmm. So it's a big part of the community here. One thing that most people don't realize, too, is that we don't have a lot of what I'll call film-specific businesses in town, films that just are movie-oriented, you know, renting lights and equipment and cable and generators and things like that. Most film companies, when they come to town, spend their money with just local small businesses, whether it's a bookstore like Old Books of Wilmington here, where they come in and just buy or rent books that they use to put onto a set, or whether it's wardrobe that they purchase, whether it's an antique store that they get furniture from. And so it's just local small businesses, and that's where the impact is really felt in this community.
Well, and I remember, too, back when the industry started, nobody offered incentives. That was something pretty much unheard of back then.
Mm-hmm.
But talk a little bit about what happened when Canada's dollar got weak and they started offering incentives, and what happened to our industry then.
Well, Wilmington was the home of the made-for-TV movie at that time. Every network was running probably one, two, sometimes three made-for-TV movies a week. And Wilmington became the place to go to do a made-for-TV movie. You'd go downtown sometimes on a Saturday, and you'd see three of them shooting along the same area. What happened was that was who targeted that industry was targeted by Canada. They not only had federal incentives or national incentives, they had the provinces each develop mm-hmm. their own incentives,
right.
And it took off from there, and it just sucked the business out of Wilmington. And that's when we had our lowest of the low times.
Took a huge.
Yeah, as Bill said, in the mid 90s, we were usually doing about 20 to 25 television movies of the week per year here.
Wow.
In addition to television series, feature films, but that one sort of niche market amounted to about 20 to 25 projects a year. In the course of about a 2-year period, we went to doing zero of those projects. So immediately, you have 20 to 25 projects that leave this town and are all going to Canada. And so that's where this all basically started. It was with Canada. Then you began to see a couple of U.S. states, primarily New Mexico, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. They were the first states that came online and started offering incentives. And then eventually we ended up with about, I think, 44 states that started offering some type of incentive. Quite honestly, most of them never should have gotten into that. You couldn't just create a film industry in a state by offering an incentive. What has always been different here, and that what we have stressed, is that we had an industry here. We had the infrastructure in place that's part of the industry here. And so what we've tried to do is to retain that industry, mm-hmm. to grow that industry, to maintain that industry. We weren't saying, let's just offer an incentive and see if we can get people to come here, but yet we have no crew, we have no infrastructure. And so we find ourselves now where the majority of those states, if they have not gotten rid of their incentive programs, they've been pared down so much to where they're just really not effective. And producers know that, and they just know there's really no reason to go to those places. There's only a handful of states, about 5 to 7, that are still really seriously in the business. North Carolina is one of those. We're known for being one of those what we call tier one states that productions look to come to do business, and we've been very successful with it.
Yeah, it's not like everybody loves incentives, but that's a part of the business these days. I mean, you have to have it to get on the playing field, right?
Absolutely. And the incentives have changed through the years, too. Again, some states went as high as offering 40-50%, which was ridiculous. I mean, nobody can sustain an incentive at that price point. It's just like any other business. You can offer a discount, but there comes a point where you have to decide where it works for you and where it does not. And in North Carolina, we've always been a little bit more conservative with our incentive because we do have the built-in incentive of the infrastructure,
sure.
The crew, those things that are in place here. And so at 25%, we're not the richest incentive program that's out there. There are others that on the surface are certainly greater than ours. But when you factor in the local infrastructure and those things that we have, then we can be very competitive. But it has to be in that range of about 25% or 30% if you want to be in the business. Anything less than that, and you're just not considered a player these days.
Yeah. As Connie mentioned and Johnny reinforced, Dino brought stuff to this town that's really an intrinsic value that the town doesn't necessarily see, but Hollywood gets it. Dino brought the best film craftspeople from all over the world to train local people. He brought the best scenic painters. He brought in the riggers. He brought in camera people, repair people, lighting people, electricians, grips, mm-hmm. and they trained the locals.
Right.
They went home after a year or two, and here you had a workforce trained locally. That force is still here, but it's not only those people that were here 25, 30 years ago. It's their kids and their grandchildren. We have third generation crew here in North Carolina. These other states like Michigan giving a 42% tax incentive,
sure.
They don't have crew.
Yeah.
They don't have stages. Now they do, but they have not been that busy. So the infrastructure here means more than just having the studio. It means having a work crew.
Right.
And the other great thing about the work crew here is they want everybody who comes here to feel at home. Mm-hmm. They want them to come back again because they don't want to move out of town.
Right.
Everybody feels that sense of community. And it's just amazing. When we had Iron Man 3 here, the number of people that were really sad about having to go back to California to do Captain America 2. Talking about, hey, here I live on a country club. I go home and I, sit out back and I have a beer. And now I got to go back to California. And I'm 10 or 15 minutes from work. I have to go back to California where it's a 2-hour drive in the morning to get to the studio and an hour and a half home at night after working a 12, 14, 16-hour day.
It's that place thing. Can you help some of the folks listening understand the business model behind your business? How do films operate, and why are incentives important?
They're important to the fact that the studios will only look at you if you have a viable incentive. Because as Johnny said, they're in, there are 44 states in this country and mm-hmm. countries all over the world. that offer incentives. So it's become a part of doing business with the
It's part of the business the model. It's
it
the way...
is a part of the, model. We as a studio are just a part of the film industry here. Mm-hmm. As Johnny said, there are awful lot of businesses that are non-film related businesses that are very important to the support of the industry here. And they've learned the industry and how to respond. Mm-hmm. You have a couple of local lumber yards. If you need a 2x4 at 10 o'clock at night, you can pick up the phone and call somebody and they'll bring it over to you.
Sure.
That wouldn't happen in a lot of these markets that are just trying to build a film business. Then there's the crew.
Yeah.
It's all here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was talking actually to a restaurant owner down the street the other day, and he said, you know, if it's not for film, I mean, I can't keep my restaurant as busy as it is. I can't keep up the growth for my restaurant. I mean, he says, you know, I get 25 people on the sidewalk at the end of the day, and every single one of them is from the film or television industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of giggle when the powers that be talk about, well, they're not full-time jobs. I live in a neighborhood that's filmed a lot and also have a lot of employees in the industry there. And these people, if they work for film crews, they leave early in the morning. They don't come in till late at night. They're working every day, many times 7 days a week, and they're ready to go to the next production, and it comes and picks them up, and there they mm-hmm. go again. So it's not counted the same way regular jobs are, but they're certainly very profitable, good, solid jobs.
Well, right now we're going to start up in another week or so the third series, television series of the year, Secrets and Lies for ABC Studios.
Oh, right, right.
And I'm just watching the crew roll over from Under the Dome. Mm-hmm. Under the Dome is going to finish on a Friday, and the crew will report, or Saturday, the same crew, a lot of the same crew, will report for work on Monday morning to Secrets and Lies.
Right.
So the big thing that we're talking about right now, and the problem is our complete package with the infrastructure and the incentive. So, Johnny, talk about the incentive package and what it does.
Sure. The incentive, the way it's currently structured, is what we call a refundable tax credit, where the production comes into North Carolina, they spend their money here, all of their money is spent on items that are taxed in North Carolina, mm-hmm. either North Carolina payroll or North Carolina income tax are deducted, even from the actors, the producers, the directors, they're all paying North Carolina income tax while they're here. All the goods and services that they purchased, you've got sales tax and fuel tax and accommodations tax. And so they spend their money here. They go through an audit process with the North Carolina Department of Revenue to verify those expenses and to make sure that all those taxes have been captured. And once that's done, then they receive a tax credit worth 25% of what their North Carolina spend is.
Okay.
If they don't have a tax liability in North Carolina, which most of these companies do not, then they receive a check back from the state for the value of that tax credit. The idea is, again, that during the time that they've been here, they have generated tax revenue, because if that production goes to Georgia instead, then that payroll is not coming through North Carolina and being taxed.
Right.
All of the materials are not being purchased here, mm-hmm. so that tax is not being generated. So, you know, when people talk about the film companies don't pay taxes, I would, you know, what I like to call film companies are tax generators.
Right.
They are not a taxpayer in the sense that they pay a corporate tax here, but their economic activity generates a lot of tax revenue for the state and for the local folks. And that's just overlooked a lot of times, I feel.
So what do you think the legislators are going to do? They're messing with something that's working really well. So what are you hearing in terms of what's happening?
You know, I think what we're hearing is that, you know, what they are saying is that they want to do something, that, you know, it was included in a House budget and a Senate budget and the governor's budget. So that shows that they all support it, and that shows that they all want to do something. And so that sort of gives them cover in the sense that they want to do something for the industry and protect it. Unfortunately, though, as we have tried to explain, what we have has to remain competitive. If we claim that we have an incentive, but it is not competitive from a marketing standpoint, sure, you can say we have an incentive. And I could go to California and meet with our clients and say, let me talk to you about our incentive. But very quickly, they will drill down through it and determine the value of it.
Right.
I mean, they have people at the studios now that this is their full-time job.
Sure,
they
course.
Didn't exist That's 10 years ago. But there, we meet with them, and their job is merely to look at all of these incentives around the world, across the globe, and to analyze them on a daily basis because they're changing constantly. It's like watching the futures market or something. Yeah. The value changes, plus the currency rates change.
Right.
And so they watch these things very closely. And they will quickly get into your incentive and say, well, yeah, you've got one, but we've run the model on it. Here's what it comes out to being. And so for us, it's not effective. And if it's not effective, we can jump up and down all day long and claim that we have an incentive and that we like the industry. But if it's not an incentive that will get the industry here, then it's really not doing any good for us at all. And that's what we're afraid of.
Well, I hear the governor and several others talk about the wonderful industry that's been built in Atlanta, Georgia, and all the permanent locations and studios and all that. We compete really well with Atlanta right now, don't we?
We do. Our incentive, Atlanta or Georgia, has an incentive that is about 30%. And so on the surface, you may look at that and say, well, they're 30%, we're 25%, so that makes theirs better. But each one of these is structured a little bit differently. You also have to look at just the cost of doing business in different cities and what that equals. And so we've been told from our clients that when they run the analysis on these budgets, that we usually come out about neck to neck with Georgia. Sometimes Georgia may be 26 or 27% when it nets out, but a lot of times it's an equal 25%. And so then it comes down to maybe creative choices as to where you shoot the movie based on the locations that you may need. We've had several projects that have shot here that their initial thought was to go to Georgia, just because that's where you see the flashing light that says 30%. You think that's the best deal.
Sure.
And they go there, and then they realize, you know what? We're scouting locations, and every day we're driving 45 miles out of the city to go see a small town. We need some rural locations.
And you're sitting 2 hours in traffic for that.
Right, yeah. And then you're driving, you know, you drive 45 minutes north to go see something, then you drive an hour south to go see something. They're staying in a big hotel. Things are expensive. They hear stories of, you know, cars getting broken into and just, you know, the difficulty of all the different shows that are there. And then next thing you know, the producer's calling me and saying, you know what, we don't have any reason to be in Georgia. Mm-hmm. We're not doing a project that is urban based where we need a big city, where we need Atlanta. And we think we'd have a better experience in a place that quite honestly, we could be sort of a bigger fish in a smaller community. And they've come here and done projects that are $10, $15 million, which are nice films. We like those a lot. And so, you know, what we have to offer has worked very well for us.
Well, we've talked a lot about the economic impact and the companies that are impacted by the film industry. But there's also a tourism side to this that, you know, people don't realize. So you have a tour at this studio, Bill. So talk about that aspect.
We just brought the tour back.
Good. I want to go. When
okay,
is it?
Come on.
When can you do it?
Saturday and Sunday, 10:00, noon, and 2:00.
Okay, cool.
And the tour is a really great thing, and it's a lot of goodwill for the community, and it brings people to town to see the studio and to see the sets of the shows that are shooting there. It was originally started when Dawson's Creek was here, and Dawson's Creek had an incredibly large, loyal audience. It continued with One Tree Hill. And for 9 years, people came from all over the world to see the sets that One Tree Hill filmed on. At the end of One Tree Hill, Iron Man 2, 3 was coming on board, and Marvel had they just said no one's coming on the set. In fact, we don't even want your people on the set when they don't have to be here. And everything was security swipe cards and pass security passes, and there was no way that we were going to be able to continue the tours for the year that they were here. Then we really didn't have a well-known television show. Because when Under the Dome came to us last year, by the time it got on the air, they had pretty much been through shooting. So this year we brought them back. We brought them back in the spring. CBS and Under the Dome have been very cooperative in allowing us to bring people on the sets. And it had a following after a year, having been started on the air a year earlier. So they've been quite successful. The number of people coming through are increasing every single weekend, and they really are enjoying it. And I must say, I'm going to brag a little bit here, I have a great tour director. Before, I always took, like, tour guides are always kids from the theater school or from the film school at UNCW.
Okay.
their first job. They get introduced to the lot. They circulate.
It's pretty cool.
Maybe they'll find another, you know, an entry-level job in the actual industry. I met this woman at a place, at an evening at the library when Johnny and I were speaking with a couple of other people, and she came up to me, and she said, I'm really interested about getting into the business, and I'll do anything to get in. She said, you know, my kids are in college, and I have a philosophy that has worked for me for 25 years, that if you hire a working mom and you let them know that you appreciate the fact that their first responsibility as a mother, they will give you everything else. And so my gut was right with Pam. Pam Stillwell, she's just done a phenomenal job recruiting these kids. She's got the kids. It's just, it's an incredible tour. It's so above and beyond what we've done.
So what's on it? Tell us about the tour.
Well, they... You start off by going into the screening room, which was Dino's screening room that was,
really?
Was built for him to go in and look at the rushes for his
impressive.
Films. And they see a history of film in North Carolina, and this tour guides discuss it with the people. And then they go on to the sets of Under the Dome,
uh-huh.
and sometimes some other shows that might be there that we can't talk about. So they usually get to see two or three sets, good size, and discuss the shows. And when you go to Under the Dome and you've seen the show and right. you're sitting in the diner, it's magic.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolute magic to them. So it's just great to be able to.
And it's so cool that you can get up close and personal. I mean, you go to mm-hmm. you know, Universal Studios or something, and you get on the tour. I mean, back in the day when you'd go on the tour, mm-hmm. right? You still couldn't get any closer than you know,
right?
Several yards.
No, you're walking right into the stage.
Right into it. It's very
and
cool.
It's different because this is a walking tour of an active studio. We don't give tours during the week when it's busy.
Yeah.
It's only on the weekend. And then sometimes we know that Under the Dome will be shooting somewhat the next couple of weekends. So we'll be limited in what we can show.
Sure.
Well, Connie, you know, you mentioned the tours at Screen Gems. But in addition, and you know, year-round, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, people are walking the streets of Wilmington just looking to see where film companies are shooting.
Right on our street. Oh, there's the old restaurant from One Tree Hill. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they go to,
they go
to different places that have been used before and stand there and take pictures. They go to where projects are currently filming. I mean, we've got three projects filming in town right now. And as we always tell people, you know, we can't tell you exactly where these projects are shooting. We're just not allowed to do that. But on... You know, at least a couple of days a week, projects are somewhere in the vicinity of the downtown.
Follow the signs.
So,
crew.
Yeah, follow the signs or just go downtown and kind of drive around a little bit and you'll probably find them somewhere. And you can stand on the street corner and you can watch.
It's fascinating.
And you can see it. And
it's
I mean, there are people that call us every year. And this is one of those things, again, working with the legislature on the incentive, it's hard to quantify this, but there is enough evidence to know that it exists and it is meaningful. When I get calls from a family from Canada who says, we have promised our teenage daughters that we will bring them to Wilmington for them to see the sites. Can you tell us how we can find the sites or how can we take a tour? Or I get someone who's calling me from Myrtle Beach and they're saying, we're down here on vacation, but we've heard, you know, or my child has convinced me that, you know, we have to come up to Wilmington for the day and to see the sites and to see where things have filmed before. And so it's real. You know, the best case of that I think we've ever had is with the film Safe Haven that shot down in the small town of Southport. Because you and that is a dream occurrence to have something like that happen. I mean, as I talk with my film commission counterparts from around the world and we talk about film tourism, when you get something like that where you get a film that is based in a community mm-hmm. that uses the name of the community right. and is set in that community, you speak to the folks in Southport and they will tell you that the summer after that film came out, tourism was up about 50% in the summer. Businesses in the town will tell you that they were just booming that summer. Realtors will tell you that people come in and the first thing they ask them is, well, where are you from or how did you find our community? And an increasing number of them said, well, my wife and I, you know, my wife drugged me to see this, you know, movie that I didn't want to go see, this chick flick called Safe Haven. And we fell in love with it. And we said, that's where we're going to go and buy our retirement home. And so there is value there. It's hard to quantify it. It's hard to put a number on it. But those facts let you know that it is real and you can't deny it.
Yeah, the anecdotal evidence of the Visitors Bureau, they have tours mapped out for you so that you can go see Dawson's Creek locations and One Tree Hill locations. I mentioned my street is a very filmed street, and I cannot tell you the times that cars have pulled over to my neighbor's house. It's been in about every movie that's ever been made here. And they get out, and is that the house? Yeah, that's the house. Or then they go down the street, and there's another house. Is that the house? You know, they go stand on the porch. The neighbors kind of understand, and nobody is too scared when a stranger from Ohio walks up on your front porch and takes a picture.
Can I look in your house?
Yeah, really, really. It's great.
You know, and you also get, in addition to the tourism, you get just the free positive exposure through the media and the press. I mean, we had a press junket here in town the other day for one of the television series, and they brought in a lot of their affiliates to do cast interviews and to do stories. Mm-hmm. And those station groups represented about 60 TV stations around the country that these stories were now going to air with. So all of those stations are seeing coverage on Wilmington, North Carolina. It's all positive press. It's positive media. All of these actors go on tours before the shows start, late-night talk shows.
Right.
They talk about Wilmington. Maybe they're filming a show here now on their own a late-night talk show. Right. And in the course of conversation, it comes up, well, you're doing a show right now, and you're down in Wilmington, North Carolina. And so, again, to get that kind of free exposure in a positive way, again, that's meaningful. It's hard to put a dollar amount on it, but to try and buy positive exposure like that, I mean, we can get bad news all day long and we don't have to work to do it. But, you know, to get positive news like that, it really has a value to it. Again, you can't deny it.
And it's really, it is a big build. You know, I've referred to this before probably in one of these shows that we had a winner of a Rachel Ray contest who came from here just this last year.
Right.
And the fact that a woman who was a finalist and actually ultimately won the entire competition was from Wilmington, North Carolina, was not at all odd to these folks in New York. They're like, of course you're from Wilmington. That's where all the next big TV stars are going to come from. So there is a sense of our future involved in that. And I really, I think this quality of place and a quality of lifestyle here, this is one aspect of what makes this a great place to live. And so...
Number of years ago, my sister-in-law called me up and said, you do One Tree Hill down in Wilmington, right? I said, mm-hmm. She had some kids, two kids that were in a private school in New Jersey. And she said, do you think for our yearly auction you could make arrangements for a tour? And so I put together a package, not including airfare from Newark. You'd have to work that out with someone else. But we put together Frank Capra, God rest his soul, was still alive and included a dinner with Frank.
Wow.
One of the hotels in town provided a place to stay, and one of the rental companies provided a car for them to get around. And down here, you auction off a script for charity, and you get a few $100s. So this trip, without transportation, went on the block, and again, fairly affluent school, and the trip went for $12,800.
Oh, my goodness.
Two young ladies told their daddies not to come home without it, and one finally broke. But it just shows, again, the attention that we get here that we may not even be aware of. You have... Things like, I mean, last year we had 3 of the top 10 movies in the country that were shot here.
Yeah,
The Conjuring, mm-hmm. The Millers, mm-hmm. and Iron Man 3.
Yep. And we get people who come here and they work here and they want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is that we have a build. We have a new sense of entrepreneurship here that is across and above and beyond technology. But people are talking about how can we have new entrepreneurial endeavors that work into the film industry? How do we keep the people who come here as actors or producers or what have you? And what do we do to keep them here and build our base from that? And I think that quality of life is important. So we need to see more film here, not less.
Absolutely. Our mayor, Bill Saffo, I think summed it up real well one day when he said, you know, used to Wilmington was known as a railroad town back in the 50s, and, mm-hmm. and that was the industry here, and that's sort of what you're known as. If you were from Wilmington, you were connected with a railroad. He said, now we're known as a film town.
That's right.
And I think that's, you know, who wouldn't want to be known as a film town? I mean, there's nothing bad and negative about that at all.
Not at all.
It's so good to have you guys here. I hate that we have to talk about maybe the negative side and hope miracles happen and things stay as they are and we continue to grow the business. But Anne, thank you, and Johnny, and
Absolutely.
Bill.
Thanks.
We really
Thanks,
appreciate
Connie.
It. And more on the film incentive probably soon.
You bet.
Thanks.